Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Tonight is going to be a little bit different. I'm still going to have guests, but I'm going to have three of them. So it's going to be a little bit different. So hold on while I dial the number, and hopefully we will be talking soon. And it should be dialing, and there we go. Hopefully things...
Hello.
Am I being heard okay this time?
Yep.
Okay, good. And I can hear you guys, so hopefully everything's okay. So we are on the air. Is everybody there, or are we still waiting on Trista?
No, everybody's here.
Okay, good. Okay, so what I had said before, and then we had to redo, but the audience doesn't need to know all the details. But my three guests tonight are in a movie together that we're going to discuss later on in the show. And the three guests that I have are Todd Ernest Braley, Deborah Lamb, and Trista Robinson. And I'm going to give just a short introduction of those three, and then I'm going to ask them a question. Okay, Todd is a director, producer, writer, editor, and he has lots of credits on IMDb. He's done lots of local TV commercials. He's done documentaries, short films, feature films, news magazine shows, and he's also done over 100 episodes of a local cooking show. Deborah Lamb has written and illustrated children's stories and poetry, and she wrote a children's play when she was only 9 years old. Her stories have been published in Dark Beauty magazine, and she has over 85 acting credits on IMDb, and she is also a producer and a still photographer. Trista Robinson has over 50 acting credits on IMDb, and she also is a producer. She's done shorts, features, documentaries, and she's also done TV. She co-hosts a live weekly audio-video horror podcast called Without Your Head, and she does that with the name Treacherous Trista. Okay, the question that I have for all three of you is, when did you realize you wanted to get into the filmmaking business, and then how did you go about making that happen? And since Trista's there, we'll start with Trista.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. So when I was, I don't know, in middle school, I did a play. I did The Wizard of Oz, and I was a munchkin and a flying monkey. And everyone was super happy on stage and in the audience. And that's when I realized I wanted to be an actor. And then I had an aunt who was a stage actor in Pittsburgh, so I moved in with her. And then I attended a conservatory in New York, so I did theater first. But I had a childhood love of horror, and when I moved out to LA, I started being cast in horror, and then I sort of changed my focus a bit from theater to film.
Interesting. Todd, what about you? I'm sorry, were you done, Trista? Because there was an overlap.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. When there's an overlap, I can't tell if the person's still talking. I apologize. Todd, what about
you?
Not
a lot.
Okay.
I actually didn't start wanting to be a filmmaker. When I was a kid, I used to draw a lot. And I originally wanted to be an animator for Disney. And when I got older... I started getting into some of the TV shows that my parents were watching, like Starsky and Hutch and Beretta and SWAT and that kind of stuff, and Dukes of Hazzard and things like that. But so I kind of switched my focus from being a cartoonist to wanting to more or less make, you know, movies. And And when you're young and you want to make movies, everything's about action movies and stuff like that. And I got older and started really diving into, you know, the classic filmmakers like Orson Welles and, you know, then John Huston. And then I learned about Martin Scorsese and Francis Coppola and those really kind of rogue filmmakers. And I did a couple of years on the Saturday classes at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. And it's just kind of one of those things that I just have always wanted to, you know, like Trista, when people react to the things that you put together and you get either a laugh or you get people to cry or anything like that, that's pretty much when I was a teenager, that's pretty much when it hit me.
Mm. And then how did you go about making that dream happen?
My parents bought me Super 8 cameras. For those people who maybe all the digital age, I used to shoot on, I had Super 8 cameras, so I'd buy the rolls of film that were 3 minutes long, and every movie idea you come up with was, you had 3 minutes to shoot it, so you used your film wisely. I did quite a few Super 8 films. It's unfortunate that I don't have most of those anymore, but we were filming all the time, every time you turn around. And then when I started taking the classes at Art Center, I was filming constantly, just because you had you were taking classes, so you had assignments to do, and came up with all kinds of stuff. But I also wanted to do horror movies back then. But I found that when I made one of my first movies, I was really interested in dramatic filmmaking, which plays in later. That plays into what we're doing currently, and I just really enjoy jerking at people's heartstrings and, you know, doing feel good kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Deborah, what about you?
Hi, yeah. I started out when I was a little kid taking ballet. I took ballet from 7 to 14 in Portland, Oregon, and we would put on these big theatrical productions. So, you know, I got introduced to theater early on, and then I was also interested in film. And even as a kid, I just loved movies. And then my mother moved me and my younger sister to Los Angeles when I was 14. So I was taking dance and drama in high school, and was involved in like just whatever school productions. And so when I graduated, I eventually got myself into a prestigious acting school, and then just kind of went on from there. I did some modeling, I danced in music videos, started getting roles in films. I was also a fire eater at the time. Well, I mean, I actually could do it now, but but I did some fire eating music videos and a couple movies, like Wild at Heart. I was the fire eater in Wild at Heart with Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern, and also Point Break with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. So all my friends who see Point Break that comes on every year in the summer, my friends are like, oh, there she is. There's my friend, Deborah Land. There she is. So I just grew from there. And, you know, I just little by little forged out an acting career. And I've been acting for over 30 years and going strong here. And now I'm working with some really great people like director Todd Ernest Braley, and I'm honored and privileged to be co-starring in this film with Trista Robinson, who has an amazing career. She's an amazing actress, and I'm very fortunate that I get to work with such talented people.
Yeah, with the three of you, I just wish I had more time that But maybe sometime you guys will want to do individually, and then I can give you the time that you really deserve, you know, spent on just you. But while I still have you talking, Deborah, I wanted to ask you another question, and then I wanted to ask the other guys one more question as well. Are you keeping up with your writing and your illustrating when you're so busy with your films?
Well, absolutely. Not so much the illustrating, but definitely with writing. As you mentioned in the introduction, I was a writer-contributor for Dark Beauty magazine for 5 years, in between 2010 and 2015. And I wrote my articles and short stories were in almost every single issue for 5 years, 12 issues a year, so that's a lot of writing right there. And then I'm part of a writer's group called WPAD, which stands for Writers, Poets, and Deviants, and I've been published in 6 books, and those are available on Amazon. And I was also just recently published in another anthology book that was put together by my friend Raina Gillette, who's a horror hostess, also known as, what is she known as? You know, kind of going out of my head. But anyway, she's a mistress something. I can't think of it right now.
Okay.
But anyway, so yes, I'm continuously writing. I have a couple more books coming up that I need to write stories for the first half of next year. And I also contribute sometimes to screenplays, and I have written a couple of screenplays myself, and also a couple with my one of my writing partners is Michael Haberfelner in Vienna, and we've written a couple scripts together. So yeah, I'm very much involved with that.
Good. I mean, I kind of knew the answer, but I just wanted it for the, because I read a little bit on you, of course, before I started the show. But I wanted you to tell the listeners. And thank you for all of that. That's very interesting, all of that information. Okay, Trista.
Thank
you. Trista, I wanted to ask you, because I don't see that you've done any directing. Would you be interested in directing, or is that something you don't care about?
I don't know. I think I'd write probably before I directed. I'm not, I don't like telling people what to do. It's not my personality. A lot of people do enjoy that. But I'm very introverted, so writing suits me pretty well. But I do enjoy the collaborative process of acting. You know, film in general is very collaborative. But yeah, I don't know. I feel a little guilty. I feel like I should. Obviously, we need more female directors, and I love being on set with female directors, but I don't know that it's right for me.
Well, it's not right for everybody, so, you know, there's nothing bad about it if it's not for you. And as far as writing, you never know. Maybe you and Deborah could co-write something together.
I like this idea.
Okay, Todd. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna add to Trista, you know, directing is, I mean, you know, it's not for everybody. And it's kind of, it sometimes will take a certain personality to be able to pull it off and pull it off well. And that's not saying that you couldn't do it, Trista, at all. Honestly, after working with Trista here in the last few days, I could see her directing pretty easily. But you're welcome. But yeah, it's a pretty taxing job to be a director, and especially if you're directing and producing and scheduling and doing everything else. So that's just my two cents in there on that.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure we all appreciate that. So the question I was going to ask you, I saw that you've only acted in two films. So do you not like acting, or you just haven't had the opportunity to do it more?
Mike, are you talking to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Todd.
So I don't like to act. I have dyslexia really bad, and memorizing lines for me is almost next to impossible. So I kind of chose to. The two times that I did act, I had to. Was the only reason I did it. So because we had actors that bailed out at the last minute. So I did it just because we needed a fill-in, and then it was, you know, 20 take Todd at that point. So I just stick to behind the camera and stick to writing and that, just so I can, that's what I really enjoy. I really enjoy the creative part.
Yeah. Well, just like directing isn't for everybody, acting's not for everybody either. So there you go,
yeah.
Trista.
I have the utmost respect for actors, because you know what it takes for an actor to really put themselves out there, especially, you know, and obviously every movie is different, every character is different, but I always felt that when an actor has to really be in a vulnerable position to play a specific role.
Are you guys still there?
Yes, we're here. Can you hear me?
Okay, there's something wrong here, so I'm not
sure
what happened. I guess I'm going to have to call back, or hopefully they will call back. Okay, let me send them a little message. Are you guys still there?
Yeah,
we're
here.
Are you guys still there? Hello? Okay, because the sound completely cut out, and I was just getting ready to, send you a message and tell you to call back in, because I was getting nothing at all. So I don't know if somebody was talking, and I don't know if it'll be on the air or not. So sorry
Hello?
About that. Well, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, you can hear us?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure, because like I said, for that, it was like a minute almost. You were completely gone. There was nothing. Okay, so I'll go back to what I was going to ask. Todd, in 2010, you did a film called Silence. It was a short. You directed, produced, you were the sound editor, writer, and the editor. And so if you would give a little synopsis of that, and then just talk a little bit about that.
Silence actually was something that I put together. I've done a handful of what would be considered really dramatic and some taboo subjects. You know, even before Silence, or when I did Silence, it was, you know, I had been reading an article online about what happens with victims of sexual assault, and I just really wanted to kind of show, because I mean, a lot of times in movies and even TV shows, when stuff like that happens, they don't show. It's always about, we got to go find the guy that did it, or, you know, we got to find the person that did this. But they never really talk about how it affects the person themselves. And when I did the short, which, by the way, was a we got a honorable mention at the New Hope Film Festival back in 2011, which was pretty cool. But we tackled that that subject, and then not long after that, I did another project that was called "Me a Rapist?" with a question mark, more of a kind of somebody, you know, somebody saying, you know, me, I'm that, and I actually got that idea from when I was in, I took psychology classes in college, and we did we were doing a study on criminal psychology. And we were watching psych evaluations on serial rapists, and there was, most of the time those guys don't have any kind of remorse or even, you know, care. And we saw one that the guy actually had some remorse about it, and he was talking about his life growing up and things like that. So I started making some notes, and I actually hand wrote a script for that, and did had a full-length feature put together. And then a friend of mine, Scott Stewart, and I, who's my cinematographer on the new film, he and I had wanted to work together. We hadn't done a film together in a long time. So we went into that script, shortened it up, made it a short, and then proceeded to do this film about a serial rapist who is questioning everything about his existence, which just, you know, in the grand scheme of things, just never happens. And we actually won Best Director and Best Actor for that film. And I got a lot of flack for it because a lot of people thought that we were trying to glamorize rape, but I think sometimes people miss the messages on stuff. And when it was more right. just about a character. Just it was more about a character study. So, but then as of now, if you find our short film version of Silence, because there's a feature film version that we did in 2018, if you find the short version, the other film are attached together because we kind of I found a way to marry them together. So it's about a 45-minute project.
Okay, Deborah, obviously this wasn't your first thing because you've done so many things, and since I had to pick like just one or two, I picked this one because I like Star Trek. You were on Enterprise, which is also known as Star Trek Enterprise, in 2001, and you did the episode of Broken Bow. So what was that like, and what's it like being a part of such a big franchise? Because in Star Trek, all you need to do is one episode and people love you for life. Go ahead.
Well, it was really fantastic working on that show. It was the pilot for that show, Enterprise, with Scott Bakula. And so it was the pilot episode, and it was amazing working on that set. Of course, the whole Star Trek crew for that particular series, Enterprise, were there. They were all there. We were shooting at this really cool warehouse. Well, actually, it wasn't a warehouse. It was some type of refinery. And I don't know exactly. It was a long time ago, so I don't remember what type of refinery. But there was they were creating a like a shanty town. Alien style on a foreign alien planet. So the scene opens up with them entering this marketplace, and there's these women who are alien fairies, and they're dancing around, and then there's all these different alien characters. And it took a few hours in the makeup chair because they put a gigantic alien head on me, so I had a big giant cone head, and then it was really cool. They had this really cool, it was pretty skimpy, but it was so cool, this little costume they made for me. And then they applied all this like these prints all over my body, like kind of it was a cross between tattoos and leopard spots, but it wasn't really leopard spots. It was more of these little, it was like hieroglyphic type designs all over, and it took forever, but it was so cool. And I was hired to be as I mentioned before, I did a lot of fire eating earlier on in my career. So the director had me, I was hired to be the fiery eating alien. Now, the sad part about that is that they did cut that scene. So everybody in that scene, I think they might have left in a little bit of them walking through this this kind of crazy alien town, but I think for the majority they cut the whole scene from the pilot. There is an article that I don't know who put it together, but it's been on the internet for many years about people who did get cut out of not just that particular Star Trek show, but other Star Trek series and Star Trek films, because
right.
you know. The franchise is just humongous. So there's
right.
an article that they list all these different actors that got cut out of different episodes of the shows and series. And so they have a little blurb about how I got cut out of this particular pilot. So, yeah, it was sad because when I was watching the pilot on television many, many years ago, you know, I was anxious to see me in this gigantic franchise, and then of course my excitement was dashed as I found out I was cut, but
no.
that's the way it goes. But the experience was wonderful.
Well, at least now with all the when they do the extra stuff and you know, the behind the scenes and deleted scenes and all of that, you never know, maybe it'll turn up someday on some expanded thing.
Possibly.
Who knows?
Yeah, possibly. That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It would be very cool. Okay, I'm going to move on to Trista. I picked this one simply because I like the name, not because it's your first or anything. But back in 2009, you did a film called The Parallax Peril. So give like a short synopsis and then what it was like working on that.
This is the most random question ever. Thank you for reminding me. It was a good experience. It's a short film that my friend Mike did, who I've actually worked with several times. He's still a good friend of mine. He always writes stuff for me. And this was, I guess it was kind of Twilight Zone-y. I played like a masked woman, so I wore this very creepy mask, and this fella winds up in this bar, and I think it's kind of like a parallel universe, and similar to Deborah, I'm very scantily clad, but I'm wearing like a cool mask. I guess it's like a horror. It's probably available online, but very fun shoot, probably just a day or so because it was a short film. I think he had a feature in mind too, but a lot of times, you know, it's hard to make a feature when you make a short.
Right.
I think a lot of people make shorts in order to eventually make features, but it doesn't always work out that way. But I'd love to work with Mike again. I'm sure I will.
Okay, well, that's sounds interesting because I like Twilight Zone-y kind of stuff. So I'm sure I'd love it if I saw it. Okay, now we're getting down to about... Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, I had another, like, short blurb there of the sound that happens. In Blog Talk Radio, they don't have a very good stream for some reason. So now I was just going to go ahead and, since we've got about 30 minutes left, we'll go ahead and talk about, well, you guys are going to go ahead and talk about, you like to draw your movie that the three of you are working on. So hopefully by me telling Deborah and Todd earlier how I was going to do it, you kind of like already talked about how you were going to present whatever it is you're going to talk about, whether it be funny stories or, because I love the little funny stories about behind the scenes. And I'm sure that the listeners do too. So however you want to put that together, tell everybody about this movie you like to draw. Whoever wants to start first, go ahead.
I'll go ahead and start. I came up with the idea. I was watching television. In fact, I don't even recall what I was watching. But I suddenly had this thought process of what would happen to a budding artist if they were to get into some kind of accident and be left with the inability to be able to do their art anymore, to be able to paint, to be able to draw. I had been working on and off in 2019 with Deborah on a project called Paradise Road, and that was kind of one of those feel good, you know, movies with a little bit of faith-based message. And I thought, you know what, since we're probably not going to be able to do that right away, I was trying to think of something that we could do. So I came up with that idea, and then I started hitting up all of the actors that I knew and just checking to see if it was going to be worth the time to write the script. So basically I cast the movie first, and once I cast it, then I sat down, I put an outline together, and then wrote the script according to the people that I had cast, and Deborah was one of them. And then we actually had some different cast members that wound up having to drop out, and Deborah suggested Trista, and after I saw her reel, I was like, oh, heck yeah, I gotta have her, because her acting is really, I mean, between her and Deborah, both of them, they're the amount of, you know, acting time that they have on screen, you can really tell they know what they're doing, and they're really great actresses. So we were able to bring Trista on board as well, and it's just been a really, really great experience so far. I mean, right now we're only 3 days into filming, and we still have another 8 days to go. And we've done some really emotional scenes. We've got some great cries. Trista is playing a very overbearing sister-in-law, and she's also she's just killing it with that part, and she's doing an amazing job. And Deborah is playing the mother, who is also the sister-in-law of Trista's character. And I don't know. I'm all over the place on this, just because there's so much stuff. There's so many good things that have happened just in the 3 days that we've been filming. But I kind of strayed from the storyline. So basically what happens is this artist gets in a car accident. She suffers a traumatic brain injury and hasn't painted for 2 years, hasn't been able to paint or draw. And she gets a caregiver that comes in and basically kind of reignites her love for being an artist. And together they kind of walk down this path of trying to, you know, get our main character, Ellen, back on track to try and be an artist again. And it's another kind of faith-based situation, but it's not a preachy at all. It's not, you know, throwing religion in your face. It's more just about the relationships and how, you know, sometimes kids get put on pedestals and parents forget about other kids, and how sometimes relatives stick their nose in their family's business when it really isn't their place. And and taking a young woman who's the caregiver and teaching her that, you know, church isn't all that bad, you know, not necessarily that everybody believes in God, but that, you know, to have faith in something, regardless of what it is to each person, that it's okay to do that. And it's just been a joy to do this project so far. And I can't even begin to thank, you know, the cast and crew, because we have a killer cast. Aside from Deborah and Trista, we also have Bree Frank, who's playing the main character, Ellen, and then Mariah Griffith, who's playing Nina, and then a whole other cast, and it's mostly women. It's pretty much an all women cast with a couple of male characters in there. And I haven't seen a really good ensemble female cast that, you know, for a film that I liked since Steel Magnolias. So this is kind of my little homage, I guess, to Steel Magnolias, because I love that film. That's one of my favorite all female cast movies. So again, it may seem a little scattered. And as far as fun things, I don't know. We've just had so much fun on this that we got too many fun stories to tell. You know, a lot of us, we joke about stuff. You know, when somebody fluffs a line, we laugh. And, you know, Trista has kind of stepped in what was originally a grandmother role, and now she's playing a sister. We switched it to a sister-in-law to accommodate her age, and she is it's kind of one of those things that after we say cut, we're all standing back going, oh snap, she just did it again. And then with Deborah, same thing, you know, when she's playing a mom and she's upset about somebody messing with her kids, you know, it's real. And that's what's the beauty of this thing with all these actors. It's so real. You know, they're all coming across. They don't even look like they're acting, you know. It's just like it's almost like they've all been there, whether they have or not. It's coming across really well. So I'm super excited to get it wrapped up so we can start editing.
All right. Anybody? Who's next?
Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, so you're wondering about our experience on the set. I can tell you a big part of the reason I wanted to be a part of this project is, I'm a friend of Deborah's and now a friend of everyone else's, but I was really looking forward to working with Deborah. We're fans of each other's work, so that's very special for me. Also, what I admire about the script is it's about someone with a brain injury, and it's about people that don't look like people I see in Hollywood movies. It's about real people and real problems and things that really matter, and I feel like that's something that I look for in art, and I'm really happy that this film delivers. Oh, sorry, is that disappointing?
You can say as much or as little as you like. It's fine with me.
Thank you. Deborah's turn.
Okay.
Sorry. Let's see. Where do I begin? Well, for one, it's such an honor and a pleasure to work with Todd again, and there's some other projects that we'll be working on also in the future, but this one's really special. When he first told me this story, it was he was going to have it as a short. I said, oh, no, no, no. You can't waste this gem of a story on a short. You must make it a feature. So and then he did, and I'm glad he listened to me because it's going to be amazing. And the two young women who are playing the two leads, which is the character of Ellen, who's in the wheelchair, played by Bree Frank, and then also Nina, the caregiver, played by Mariah. What's her last name? Mariah Griffith, and they are so amazing. Just Bree with her natural, gifted acting ability is just so good, and also Mariah also is very gifted, so they're really good. And then to be able to act alongside my friend Trissa is very special. She brought an element to this character that she's playing that did not exist before. She's hilarious. She's hysterically funny. And she's not meaning to be, but she brings that to her character, and it gives the film a certain element that totally would have been missing if she wasn't the one playing this role. So I'm so happy it turned out the way it did, and I'm very blessed to be playing the role I'm playing as the mother. And I've gotten to know, Bree, who's playing Ellen, who is the one suffering from the traumatic brain injury, her, and then the girl playing her sister, Rose,
Bonino,
she is also so funny. And I've, over the past few days, I've gotten to really get to know, I knew Bree from before, but Rose, and developed this rapport that makes it so easy and just so natural for me to be their mother. And even when we're not actually filming, I'm acting like I'm their mother. And it's hysterical, especially since Rose's real mother is also on set playing Frida. And she's just laughing because she sees me acting like I'm Rose's mother. And it's really funny. So we've all kind of fallen into these roles just so naturally. It's almost like Todd said, like we're not even acting. We just are these characters. And it's a really special project. So this is one that I'm so, so proud of. And we have a lot more days to shoot. And it's just, so far it's been a magical experience. And I'm just really happy. And I just can't wait to see what we end up doing in the next several days. And then, like Todd said, he can start editing. And yeah, I'm just so excited.
And if I can interject here, Deborah also, when she had talked me into making this a feature, she and I also sat on the phone for quite some time and kind of developed the story. So, I mean, as far as, you know, Deborah is going to be getting multiple credits in this, and one of them, from the beginning was, you know, helping me develop the story to get it in line so I could sit down and start writing the script. So I really owe her a lot for talking me into making a feature and then also helping me out develop the story.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Anybody have anything else to say about the film? I mean, no matter what it is, like, do you have, any idea on... about what you're going to do for distributing, if you're going to have maybe a Indiegogo or a Kickstarter to get some extra funds, anything like that?
No, I'm funding the whole thing myself. So we're just going to, some stuff lined up for Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire Stick, iTunes, a handful of other streaming platforms. My plan is I'm looking into, there's a handful of independent theaters across the United States, and I'm looking into maybe getting a few days releases in some of these other independent theaters. So that is that's also a possibility, and so I'm just waiting to hear back from some of them on that. And but yeah, I mean that's basically what we're looking at in being able to, you know, have a project out there that while we're filming, when the crew starts crying or the crew is laughing, and you just know you have something good when you call cut and everybody's like, yes, all right, yes, or they're laughing, or, you know, the director starts blubbering like a five-year-old, then, you know you've got something good when there's a lot of emotion happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. What kind of a release date are you hoping for? Not necessarily that you think you're going
to
get, but I'm sorry.
I'd like to try and have it done by February, and then and have it out probably by March or April of next year.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds like a good idea. So, are you going to be having, I don't know, like little things on your Facebook page, like what other people do when they have movies coming out, where they have the little videos and they talk about the film and they invite questions and stuff like that? Are you going to be doing anything like that? Any of you? I mean, no, it could be any one of you.
We might possibly try and do something like that here before we're done filming. We do have a Facebook page. We actually have a couple of Facebook pages for it. We have one that is just You Like to Draw, and that's in quotations with a question mark at the end. And then we also have a group that people can join that's You Like to Draw feature film group. So they can look either one of those up and find them, or you can look on Deborah's Instagram. She posts a lot of photos on there. I haven't had time to post to Instagram while we've been shooting, but we have a teaser trailer that's on our new Facebook page, just the regular film page, so people can go there and look it up.
Okay, very interesting. If we have time, I mean, if you guys are done talking about that film, I don't want to presume, but if you're done talking about that film, we do have a little time left that I can go over probably at least another one movie for each of you. But if you still have something to say about You Like to Draw, then by all means, go ahead and say it.
Oh, no, we're happy to hear your questions. Thank you.
Okay. I'll start with Deborah. Now, in 2015, and I picked this movie simply because I like the idea that you played a detective in it. I just thought, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You were an actor, producer, you did still photography, you were the casting director, and you actually wrote some scenes, Natural Born Filmmakers. So what was that experience like?
It was wonderful. And I love being... I love playing a detective so much that when I had the opportunity to play a detective... I really loved being a detective on that in that film. So when the opportunity came along for me to play a detective in another project called Gold Mountain, I was really ecstatic. That Gold Mountain show won. It won a lot of awards. It won a lot of awards, and it's a television series, and so in that, it's the story takes place in San Francisco Chinatown, and it's about the Chinese mafia, and it's really exciting, and I'm really looking forward. I was in season 2, and the director's going to bring me back, hopefully, for season 3, and a lot of the actors involved in that TV series or television series are award-winning actors, including Diana Wang, who worked many times with Jackie Chan on a lot of his films. So we've got some big hitters on Gold Mountain, and it's by Kibi Films, and they have a Facebook page. Just go to look up Gold Mountain on Facebook, and you can find it. It's awesome.
Okay, Trista. I picked this one because you produced this one as well as acted in it. Melanie's Gambit. It was a TV movie. So tell me about that experience.
Yeah, so actually, funnily enough, I think it's technically a short film. I'm not sure how they qualify stuff on IMDb, but it's probably also available online. And oddly enough, it's for my same buddy Mike that did the other short that you happened to select. So as an independent film actor, a lot of times you do a lot more than just act, right? Especially someone like me who is just often trying to help expedite the shoot. So it was very nice of Mike to give me a producer credit. I didn't negotiate it in any way. He just kind of appreciated me doing a lot more than acting on the shoot. In that, I play a serial killer, and that was a short film. And since then, I've done a feature film called Purgatory Road, in which I also played a serial killer. So I guess that was good preparation for me. Yeah, again, I wore a cool mask, I guess, and was scantily clad. I guess that's the hallmark of working with my buddy Mike Clark. And I got to kill a naked man, which is not the only time I've done that. So that's kind of my dream house.
Okay, and we've got like 7 minutes. Not a lot of time, but I did want to ask you about the 28th film, short, it's a short, The Raven, and simply because I like Edgar Allan Poe, and you directed that. So I'm sure that everybody knows what The Raven is about, but if you could just give like a short little thing about what that was like working on, Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, there's a local group here in Grand Junction, Colorado, that is they call it the Edgar Allan Poe they call it the Poe Project. And I had been working with some of the people in the Poe Project, and I was originally supposed to direct several of Edgar Allan Poe's stories. I was going to do modern takes on the stories, and when we did The Raven, I put that together, and I used yet again a female cast, and just kind of put my own spin on it using the female cast, and then kind of my interpretation of what I felt the Raven was, or my version of what I thought the Raven should be. And you know, there's been several versions, some of them very literal, and some like mine, I kind of took it in a different direction. And we had Heather Carson and Elizabeth Larson playing, Heather Carson was playing the I made it a mother and daughter team, and Heather actually did the voiceover and read the poem, and then the visuals all coincided with the reading of the poem. So it garnered a lot of attention, and people really, really enjoyed it and gotten a lot of positive positive feedback from it. So, and we shot it in 5 hours because we were able to get a local winery that has a huge bed and breakfast. And they let us shoot in their building, but literally they gave us 5 hours to do it. So I went in there with a five-man crew and two actresses, and we went in and we shot it in about 5 hours. And it was a lot of fun. It was kind of whirlwind, but we had a good time with it. And then I just did a lot of visual stuff with it afterwards. And again, it's garnered, you know, a lot of attention, and there's a lot of people that like it. Some people look at it and they're not super impressed with it, but there are others that just really like it. So again, it's just, you know, it's a matter of the different things that people's interpretation of Edgar Allan Poe. So we had a lot of fun doing it, and I actually had more fun editing it than I did shooting it, just because it was a blur. It was a lot to shoot in 5 hours, but I'm proud of it. I like it. I don't mind. It's one of my projects that I don't mind showing people.
I look forward to seeing it. Now, we're getting down to under 4 minutes, so what I usually do near the end, and hopefully we'll have time for all three of you, I like to ask the guests to give people the best way to get in contact with them, whether it's for a job or just a chat or whatever, the best way to contact you. So whoever wants to start, I don't care which order you go in.
Okay, I'm Krista Robinson, and you can find me. I post work updates about my work, rather, on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
And same thing for Todd Braley. I don't have a Twitter account, but I do have a Facebook account, and it's under it's Todd Ernest Braley on. For my Facebook, for my production company, it's Infinity Media Productions. And then again, for our latest project, You Like to Draw, it is in quotations with a question mark. So you can look up any of those and find me there. I don't post a lot on Instagram, so I don't finding me there. I'm under Todd Braley on Instagram. Probably be posting a lot of pictures. We got a lot of behind the scenes pictures from the newest project, so I'll be putting those up here probably within the next couple weeks.
And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Deborah Lamb, and on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at the Deborah Lamb. And I'm easy to find. You can Google me. I'm everywhere.
You are, because when I Google you, it's like, oh, I get tons and tons of stuff for you. Okay, we've got actually 2 minutes, because you guys were so quick with that. Do any of you want to say anything in closing? Something short, because we've only got like a minute and a half.
Well, I just really, I'm really looking forward to getting our newest project with these two very talented ladies finished up, and we're going to definitely, we have Paradise Road, which we're planning on doing next year, and Deborah will be playing a mother again, but a mother who's just gotten out of rehab for heroin addiction, and Trista, hopefully, we've asked her to be a part of that, and she'll actually be playing a female mechanic who has just returned from Afghanistan and is dealing with PTSD. So that's a project that we're really looking forward to doing. I've got some tightening up to do on the script, but once we get that done, we're going to start probably going to pre-production with that in either April or May of 2021.
Okay. Deborah or Trista, we still have 30 seconds if you guys want to say anything.
Well, thank you so much, Mac. It's been so wonderful talking to you. I'm so blessed to be working with you two wonderful people. Paul Ernest Braley is a genius. Trista is brilliant. And I'm not so bad myself. I think we make a good team.
Trista, anything?
I'm also very grateful. I'm grateful for your kindness and time and for these people's talents and friendships. And yeah, we're all very fortunate people. Thank you again. Stay safe. And we're so grateful to be able to do what we love to do. Yes, thank you, Max.
Yes, thank you.
So thank you to all of you for being on the show. Hopefully nobody got cut off because we did go a little bit over the time. So thank you. I'm going to hang up now. And thank you very much to all three of you, Todd Braley, Deborah Lamb, and Trista Robinson. Thank you so much. It was a joy having you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Bye now.
You all too. Be very careful. Good night.